from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Chiefs. This is your episode for Monday, and it is a Chiefs victory episode. It seems like forever since we've had one of these.
Yeah, it's kind of a relief, right? I think choosing against them turned the tide, so I'm just going to pick them to lose every other game the rest of the year.
Or I can just go and drop, pick up a Charger next week and drop them right before they play, because that seemed to really work for Jared Cook.
Nice.
And I played Alex Smith today, and yeah, that didn't turn out too well.
Well, folks, check out the rest of the podcast network. Tons of shows going on. Got to start thinking about those charges as we come up. But, you know, let us know how you feel. Leave us the reviews so you can do the PFF thing. We've talked about that a lot. We want to make sure for any of you that are new listening to us, I'm Ryan. I am the founder of Rogue Analytics. I do all kinds of stuff, both at Chiefs Digest as well as LockedOnChiefs.com. And I'm one of the hosts.
And I am Chris, and I am writing at Arrowhead Addict as well as LockedOnChiefs.com. Been doing this for 3 or 4 years now and really enjoying it. So hope you guys are enjoying listening. Send us your questions on Twitter at LockedOnChiefs on Twitter, and you can find Ryan and I on Twitter at RyanTracyNFL or ChrisClarkNFL.
And we realize we don't do that enough. You know, we've got – and we really appreciate our local fan base, our consistent fan base, but we realize there's more of you coming every day. So forgive us for not doing that. Now, we will make sure to make that a little more consistent so you know where we're coming from. But that said, all of those things out of the way, I'm a little bit relieved, I have to say. I thought this was a game that and partially why I picked against them is because I've been waiting for weeks for them to live up to some of their potential and beat a team that they should beat, and they haven't done it. So I don't know if it was the urgency, if it was coming back home, if it was it's the Raiders, which gives you plenty of motivation, I think. But they made the flip today. Do you think it can be, you know, first, what do you think helped them make that flip? And do you think they can sustain it?
Well, that's a twofold question to me. First off, I would say that I was very happy to see Eric Berry on the sidelines. It sounded like he gave them a speech pregame, from what I heard for the different people that were there talking about before the game. Eric Berry was out there talking to the team. Looks like the defense came out fired up and really took it to Oakland early on in the game. And it looks like they ran out of steam, you know, late third quarter, early fourth, and just kind of cruised to victory at that point. Luckily, the offense was able to score enough points. Even though I think they left two, if not three, touchdowns on the field, that they can't miss on a regular basis, especially against a team like what they're going to be playing on Saturday night against the Chargers. And yes, they play on Saturday night.
Yeah, this end of the college season makes things a little bit funky, but we will keep that in mind. We'll still have all the information for you. We'll try to remind you guys all week that it's a Saturday night game. I agree with you. It's a little. I thought they played well early. Now, I was not in my normal situation, so I half listened, half watched the game. My kids compete in a sport that was right in the middle of some competition this weekend, so I needed to dedicate myself to that.
And just know that you were blessed because you didn't have to deal with Ryan's misspelling today. So,
well, not much. I had plenty yesterday. So.
Well, that's true.
But long and short, you know, I got enough of the feel of the game and I saw enough of it that that's what stood out to me too, is the defense came ready to play. They are obviously elevated and motivated. Having it peter out at the end is, I think, a problem, but it's much better than we've seen before. We've seen them peter out in the first quarter, not the third. And maybe if it was riding emotion or if it was just getting to the point that they were up enough, maybe that's something they need to continue to work on. They had a really grueling game against the Jets, so I can see the defense still being a little bit wore out. But got to make sure.
Yeah, but that Jets team lost to the Broncos.
Right. And comparison-wise, yeah, it's amazing what attitude changes for this Chiefs team week in, week out. And that's really what it comes down to. The thing for me is the thing that I'm concerned about is that as long as it wasn't another aspect that we may have seen in the beginning, like against the Jets where they got out to a big lead and they kind of let up and they start to feel like it's in the bag. And they lose that focus and that intensity. I think that's important. And a team that's learning to maintain that, I think, this was a positive step forward, and they have to make another step forward next week in order to get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, and you can't sell short this game next week, because basically if they win this game next week, they probably lock up the AFC West because they'll have a one and a half game lead on the Chargers, and they'll more than likely have a better record in the division than the Raiders will, so they will have a tiebreaker with them as well. So huge game huge game on Saturday night. You know, when it comes down to the way they ended the game, what concerns me more is, at least against the Jets, I felt like the offense hung them out to dry multiple times because they were off the field so quickly. Mm-hmm. They didn't give them time to rest. They didn't give them time to recuperate. And I get that that's not always going to be happening the way you want it to. And you're going to have to deal with that, and that's fine. But in this game, Kansas City held the ball most of the first half, most of the third quarter. So it really shouldn't have been a conditioning issue. If it was really they ran out of emotion late in the game, then that's a little concerning going forward. You know, the question that we haven't talked about yet, and I guess we kind of need to get into just a little bit at least, is what is this – performance by the defense in the first three quarters mean about how the defense has played with Marcus Peters in the past, not having him today?
You know, I think what it means is that it's a team that they're familiar with. Everybody who did play today, except with the exception of Terrell, I want to say, has played the Raiders before. So I think that's partially a little bit that makes up for that. If you're trying to get at that, the being without Marcus Peters didn't hurt this team, I can see that argument for today. Do I think that's true long term? No. But how do you feel about
it? I'm not saying it's true long term. I'm saying that, to me, the corners look like they were playing with a little bit of edge and a little bit of passion that I haven't seen in the past couple of weeks.
Is that kind of like the we don't have the Peters safety net, we better step everything up and do it ourselves?
I don't know if that's it. It definitely could be, I suppose. But – you know, to me, it looked more like they were playing with passion and they were playing with a purpose from the start. And I didn't see, even when things got bad late in the game and they started letting Oakland come back, I didn't see them get upset like they have in the past. I didn't see heads hanging. I didn't see the attitude issue that we've really seen over the past several weeks. So I don't know what that means. Is that going to... does it really mean anything going forward? I don't know. But it's certainly something that's curious, because you look at this situation with Marcus Peters, and I'm not saying the defense is better off without him, but they certainly look better without him on the field for the first three quarters of this game.
Well,
they got pressure early. They, you know, the corners were holding coverage enough. And that was with Oakland having their best two wide receivers early in the game, with Cooper playing and Crabtree playing. I just saw more passion from this defense than I've seen recently. And I will continue to say this, but what a steal Reggie Ragland has looked like for Kansas City.
Right, right. Not a huge stat day for him, but some key plays, some attitude. Oh,
I love the attitude.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's what this team needs. It needs the edge, especially there in the middle of the defense. Yes, they have strength and talent out on the edges of the front as well as the edges of the secondary. But man, to have that kind of attitude, that kind of edge there in the heart of the defense, that's something that I think they need. I think it wore off. I think you saw somebody else in the middle in Chris Jones that came to play early.
Yeah, he came to play early, and I think he played okay late as well, but he was still pressed in the pocket. He was the guy that sacked Carr early and then forced the interception early in the game. I also saw Justin Houston get a sack That is what happens when you actually give a pass rusher more than 2.5 seconds before the ball is out. I think him not having the time to get after the passer has really been his issue this season more than anything else. You saw Tamba Hali get after the passer a little bit. You saw, I'm still impressed with what I see from Tano Passanio. He had a penalty, which it really stunk. He was trying to run down the field with a tight end, and that's a really bad position for a guy his size to be in. But I will take penalties like that because it was a penalty that he's going to learn from, and he needs that opportunity to learn.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, the play that stands out to me was a play that he didn't really affect. But he got such a good initial rush that he got around the corner on the left tackle. I think it was Penn. And he was basically, a stranglehold that didn't get called that I thought really showed that he was able to dip and get around and get heading toward the quarterback. And that, I think, is an evolution that we've seen in the last few weeks. It's starting to click for Tano Passanio. And if you missed my film review, it's out on Twitter on the timeline. Go back and check that out from, I want to say, last Thursday night.
Yeah, and not only that, but I think the demise of Derek Johnson has been greatly exaggerated as well. He absolutely lit up Marshawn Lynch on a pass late in the game.
And I have to say, after what we've been seeing from Marshawn Lynch, he's been steadily gaining momentum the last 4 weeks, basically, and she shut that down.
Yep.
He still ended up with a lot of yards per carry.
Well, that's just because he had one big run.
He had exactly.
Run early in the game. And I think I don't think he had another run that was over 5 yards.
Very, very good day for this run defense, which is starting to make that turn from weakness to strength. And I think that's a good thing for them. When we start looking forward to what they can do if they can make this run. Definitely San Diego's playing well. That's a hurdle. Broncos are never going to be dead, but you got to go on the last day of the year, 2 Mile High or whatever they call it now. And if they can get past that, then we're still talking about a possible matchup with Pittsburgh. And I think this run defense is getting to the point where Le'Veon Bell is somebody that they have a much better chance at coming this postseason than last.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that. You look at what Raglan brings to this run defense, and you saw KPL play again today, play very well. It looked like he got hurt in the second half, in the second quarter, maybe early third quarter, but he was able to continue playing. And I think that's a guy that is going to really be something for them in the future. He's going to be Derek Johnson's replacement. No, he's not going to be Derek Johnson or what we know is Derek Johnson in the past couple of years, but I think he's going to be a very good sideline to sideline linebacker.
Now, when we look at the other side of the ball, welcome back to the end zone, Kareem Hunt.
Absolutely. And he got his touchdown because Travis Kelce got one of his called back, and he actually had two called back and dropped a possible third.
There were a couple of drops by the tight ends today. I know old 84 is not changing my opinion again.
Well, I will agree with you. It was a drop. I will say, though, it wasn't the best pass. It could have been a better placement. He had to reach outside of his normal frame, and if that ball's right on him, I think it's a different story. But still should have been caught. I completely agree with that. That was one of them. Travis Kelce had a touchdown that was called back because of a penalty on Mitchell Schwartz, who was called for an ineligible lineman downfield, which makes zero sense. And I don't know what Mitchell Schwartz was doing on that play because he was at least 8 yards downfield. And then you have, early in the game, I think Smith left one on the field. He had Tyreek Hill down the middle of the field, wide open, and didn't take the shot, and he was looking at him. So I don't know what he saw there to not have him try that opportunity, but that's a pass that he needs to make against San Diego if they're going to win.
I agree with you, and we'll talk a little bit more about him. I don't want to get away from Kareem Hunt too much yet because a couple of things. First, I had a piece I put out on Chiefs Digest before the game this morning. Go check that back out because it talks about Matt Nagy.
You're shocking me here, by the way.
I know, right?
You want to talk about the running game. Yeah, Matt.
I know. I'm just saying. But one of the things that I pointed out was that he, in calling the plays, is changing the evolution for the quarterback and what he can do. But he also corrected his mistake in his first outing in New York and gave Kareem the ball enough. 25 carries, had just 9 the week before. So a big turnaround from Nagy. I think that was great. And the other thing is the line actually got effective in blocking for him.
Well, and I think it goes beyond what you just said, because not only did he give him enough carries, which I was impressed with, but he also stayed with what was working. There was multiple times in that game where, you know, I heard, and I was sitting there chuckling to myself watching the game, but they said that Cameron Irving's reporting as an eligible wide receiver, and I'm just sitting there shaking my head going, oh, please don't. Oh, please don't. It was like a second or third and one, but they stayed with what was working. They didn't vary from what they had been doing, and so I think that's a good sign moving forward. I think the offense is the play calling was a lot better than I was expecting it to be. You know, when you look at what Kansas City's offensive line was able to do. It's a little concerning because I think Alex Smith was sacked 4 times today, but I also think that he ran into some of those sacks. It looked like Fisher probably had, Irving blocked long enough. And for whatever reason, Alex decided not to throw the ball. There was multiple plays where I thought that Alex should have had the ball out much quicker than he did. You get back to the back of your drop, and generally speaking, that's when the ball should be coming out, or at least pretty close after. Alex did what he does. He kind of turned his feet and ran into situations where I don't think he really needs to be trying to run for it. He needs to just either throw the ball away. The end of the first half is a great example. He ran into that sack. And if he, is smarter, he throws that ball away and maybe they have another opportunity. Obviously it didn't end up mattering in the end, but it's still something that, I think he played okay, but I'm not saying he played great. I'll take 260 yards, but it wasn't a great performance.
And it wasn't quite as cutthroat as it was against the Jets. Not quite the same balance. Again, 5 20-plus yard attempts completed, 2 of them. Not as accurate as the week before. Only problem was 6 that were thrown behind the line. Again, returning, I think that's more the Andy Reid influence coming back on the play design. Yes, Matt Nagy's calling the plays, but they said all week that Andy's putting the game plan together. So I think that they identify some things probably with Irvin and Mac that they wanted to put the screen in more a little bit. I'll be okay with that for a week, but if they go back to more behind the line of screen. Behind the line of scrimmage passes than they do 20 pluses, then we got to be concerned that they're sliding back into the read ideas.
No, and I agree with that. And the other issue that you're going to run into with that is if you're giving the running back 25 carries and you're throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage that many times, that's a lot to ask for your offense to find ways to get around. I completely agree with that assessment. The one thing that I haven't said and that I need to take some time to do is I need to sing the praises of Albert Wilson.
What? Take your temperature. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm feeling fine. He has shown over this past season, he has shown more tenacity and effort and passion than I'd seen in him previously, and he has contributed multiple times in multiple huge situations for Kansas City. In the fourth quarter, he had a great catch early. I can't remember if it was the third quarter or it was the late second quarter, where it was a deep pass from Alex Smith and he caught it on the sideline. It was a fantastic catch. He got both feet down, found a way to drag his back foot. Great throw, but even an even better catch. And then in the fourth quarter, there was a play where I can't remember the exact route he was running, but it was like a third and six, and he got the ball about 4 yards, 3 or 4 yards after or past the line of scrimmage, juked out his man, stopped, and was able to keep himself in bounds and get the first down, and that allowed Kansas City to chew another 2 or 3 minutes off the clock. It was a huge play. I tweeted about it at the time. It reminded me a lot about the play that he was not able to get in week 7 when Kansas City was trying to win against the Raiders in Oakland. It wasn't the same, you know, it wasn't on the same area of the field necessarily, but it was, you know, the same time frame, you know, that type of play. You make that type of play and it completely changes the game. If he would have made that catch in week 7, Kansas City probably goes on to win that game. But he's played great for him lately, and I really have to give him props.
Yeah, and he's got more touchdowns this season than any season of his career. This is year 4, so it's starting to click for him. They're asking him to do what he's good at. I think that, in general, is very good for him. And good for you for recognizing that, but good for him for making the adjustment as well. And it's clearly somebody they like to use, both Reed and Alex Smith, so an integral part. And if they can continue to feed on that, it's just another option in that plethora of Kelce and Hill and Hunt. And Wilson's a nice fourth option at this rate. So they're going to need all the weapons they can get as they make this push towards the postseason. We are going to give you all the information.
And I have one last quick hat tip to Attic Chiefs, who asked me a question on Twitter, and I had to go and look it up. Kansas City has never had a 4,000-yard passer, a running back over 1,000 yards, and a wide receiver and tight end over 1,000 yards, and they are on pace to do so this year for the first time in franchise history. Smith will far surpass his career high in yardage. Hill is easily going to get over 1,000 yards as long as he stays healthy. And Kelce's about 875 right now, so he should get over 1,000 yards. And Kareem Hunt is over 1,000 yards running right now. So they will be there.
Offensively, it's definitely been a step up. Let's see if they can maintain it. As we get ready for that, we're going to go over this game in more detail, especially when the All 22 comes out. We will have more for you tomorrow as we start looking at some of the finer details of this game, see what they can fix, see what they can do to move forward. But keep it here. Keep subscribed. Tell your friends. We're going to have a great week as they get ready for this early game against the Chargers on Saturday. Thank you for listening to us today. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.